This is Mr. Tolu Balogun. On the Work From Home podcast, I will be teaching you a lot of things you can do to upgrade your skills and be able to run a work from home business successfully. Stay with me and enjoy. Hi everyone, welcome to another beautiful and exciting episode of the Work From Home podcast. I have Steve here with me all the way from Canada. The title of this podcast is one thing, but then there's a whole lot of stuff that we have to cover within the next 30 minutes that you are definitely going to enjoy. And if you have clicked play button and you're already listening, I want to congratulate you already, because by the time we are done with this, you would have to say thank you to Steve for all the value he's going to share with us right now. So Steve,
Well, hello, Tolu. Thank you for inviting me. I'm so excited.
So great. Please introduce yourself to the listeners.
Sure. My name is Steve Lowell, and I'm from Ottawa, Canada. Ottawa is Canada's capital, and it's cold here most of the year. I'm a professional speaker and a mentor to professional speakers and coaches, speakers, authors, consultants around the world. And I help them craft their message in a way that helps them to stand out and monetize through all kinds of different methods.
Yeah, awesome. So, and another thing we just decided before starting this record is we have already said we need to have another episode where we'll talk about how to be a rockstar speaker. And you need to watch out for that, because it's definitely going to blow your minds off. And if you are a speaker or you have speaker friends, it will be a great idea to already tell them to join this podcast, because that is something that is going to be following up really soon. Real quick question. When it comes to running a business from home, we were talking about a little bit of some rituals you can do to make sure that you are in that mode. For me, it's just about having this separate room where I converted to an home office. But what are some of the things you can do to, as a business owner that is working from home, as an entrepreneur or freelancer, whatever the case might be, that you can do to make sure that it will help you, whatever your style is, it will help you to become more productive?
You know, when my wife and I had to switch to an online business when the global pandemic started 2 years ago, it was a very difficult transition for us, because we traveled the world. We were out on live stages. We were in airplanes and airports and hotels and conferences, and that's how we earned a living for many years. And we never really built an online business. We considered ourselves to be a home-based business because we didn't go to work every day, but we were on the road all the time. But when we had to shift to the online space, then we became a true home-based business. And we got up every day, and the entire, you know, travel to my office was, you know, 15 feet, you know, across the hall to the office, you know, and the traffic was just stepping over some laundry, you know, and the whole world kind of changed a little bit. So what we found is this. We found that we needed to be able to discipline ourselves, not just in terms of activity, but also in terms of mindset. And we had to be able to distinguish when are we at work and when are we at home, even if the space is the same. The first thing we did was we actually moved to a much bigger house. And we did that because we wanted to have dedicated office space. And we wanted to have a dedicated studio. Now, I know that not everybody has a facility to do this, but what we did was this. I have my office, my wife has her office, because we work together in the business. The offices are separated, and we have a separate studio. And if you have the ability to do that, we find that breaking up the space made an important difference. When we're in one space, we're at work. When we're in the other space, we're at home. But here's the other thing that we decided to do. Every single day, when we get up to approach our day, we dress as if we're going to the office. I dress as if I'm going to be on stage. Because what I've found is a couple of things. Number one is the mindset shift that happens when we dress for the part is significant in informing how we are going to act and how we're going to produce during the day. And I have noticed a distinct difference, Tolu, between how I perform when I'm not dressed for the part. So for me, if you were on camera right now, you'd see I have a suit jacket on, and then I've got my dress pants. Like, I'm dressed for, I could walk out on a stage right now and I would be fine. And that was probably one of the most important things for us, because the mindset piece was so critically important. Now, the other thing is, I've heard a lot of people, they'll say, well, my home-based business, I have to work to make sure that I only work between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. and sort of, you know, working hours. That doesn't work for us in our business, because we have clients just as you do all over the world. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be flexible in terms of our timing. But whether I'm up speaking at 2 a.m. to a group in Malaysia, or whether it's 2 p.m. speaking to a group in Canada, I'm dressed for success. I'm dressed for business, because it makes me feel like I'm in the part.
Awesome, awesome. That is a very good tip that I probably should try out, because, well, maybe more like the weather of where I stay in, because it's really hot here in Nigeria. I feel way more comfortable when I dress down for the day than when I dress up for it. I might as well just try it out, and I'm sure, because a lot of people have actually said stuff about dressing up for the day. It has not made a significant difference for me when I tried it, but I can definitely give it another shot and see if it makes life easier. One thing I do that I always do is I have a t-shirt and a pants. Anytime I need to be on camera within 2 minutes, you know, it's very easy to wear a t-shirt, it's always easy to wear a pant. I do that in like a minute. So that's one thing that I do. But the act of having a dedicated space, that is very, very, very important, no matter where you are. Because it feels, your body sees it as, it's game time. And then when you're out of that space, I don't know how it works, but you feel a bit more relaxed, and then you're ready to do anything you will feel like doing at home. But when in that office space, you'd feel like, yeah, it's game time right here. So very, very valid point. And definitely, if you are someone that would try dressing up for the day, I've had very great feedback actually from a lot of people about dressing up for the day. So by all means, make sure you try that out and see if it works wonders for you. When I was reading your profile, I saw you mentioning some things about differentiation. It's not something that I understand very well, and I want you to shed some light on that.
Sure, yeah, let's talk about that. So, you know, you hear a lot about differentiation. Marketing people and salespeople and, you know, branding experts, and they will often say you need to find a way to differentiate. And I don't disagree with that, except for this. What I've found is that you don't actually have to be different from anybody else who does what you do. So, you know, if you're a business coach, or if you're a speaker, if you're, you know, an entrepreneur of some kind, you don't actually have to be different in order to differentiate. You only have to appear to be different in order to differentiate. And what I've learned is, you can appear to be different just by changing some of the language that you use. So Tulu, let me give you an example. Oftentimes when I'm speaking, I'll ask the audience this question. I'll say, put up your hand if you or somebody you know is in the market for a tennis instructor. And very few hands go up. People generally aren't, you know, walking the earth looking for a tennis instructor unless they actually need one. Mm-hmm. And so what I tell the audience is, I say, I bet you, let's say there's 100 people in the room, I'll say, I bet you that at least 30 of you are either in the market for a tennis instructor right now, or you know somebody who is. And then I'll tell them about this guy named Brian. Brian came to me about 18 years ago, and he said, Steve, I'm going to all the meetings, all of the chambers of commerce, all the networking groups, I'm meeting the people, I'm collecting the business cards, I'm making the phone calls. He said, I'm just not getting the business that I need. I said, well, Brian, what do you do? He said, I'm a tennis instructor. So we taught Brian this principle about, you don't have to be different. You just have to appear to be different. And if you saw Brian today and said, Brian, what do you do? He would say something like this. He'd say, well, you know, I see so many young children who have so much energy, and they're bouncing off the walls, and the parents get so frustrated because they have no idea how to control these kids. He'd say, well, what I do is, I take kids of any age, I bring them on a tennis court, I absolutely exhaust them, and I hand them back to their parents. And then I ask the audience, Tulu, I say, now put up your hand if you know somebody who might be in the market for a tennis instructor. And all of a sudden, everybody's hands go up, right? And so the point is this: just by changing the focus of your conversation can make you appear to be different, and it can mean the difference between I'm not interested and tell me more. So appearing to be different is what we need to strive for if we don't actually have a legitimate differentiator. And what so many people do, Tulu, is they make this mistake of thinking that their experience is going to differentiate them, or their credentials, their education, their unique solution, their five secrets to this, their four secrets to that, or they've written the book, or, you know, they've got a great story. All of those things are important for entrepreneurs, but they are not differentiators. They may be selling features, but they're not differentiators, because we all have experience. We all have a story. We all have a solution. So differentiating is not about competing against others. It's about appearing to be different than others. And we underline the word appearing. We actually don't have to be different. Brian, the tennis instructor, is a tennis instructor like every other tennis instructor.
Absolutely. I've learned a lot with what you just said now. And based on that, I've already seen a couple of changes I can make to my bio on Instagram already, just by what you said.
Excellent.
What Brian did was to understand his unique selling point, it's what he's passionate about, and also to understand the pain points of whoever he's talking with. Most of them are probably parents. He understands his target market. Most of them are tired, as you said, and frustrated of their kids bouncing around. I drain that energy, and when they get home, they are not likely to, you know, be running around again because they are stressed for the day. They have an activity that he is going to train them on that will get them occupied. And that is such a relief and a blessing to a lot of parents. I mean, that is a great way to let people understand that I am the one for you. So what you are explaining to us right now is, with differentiating or differentiation, it's all about letting people know that you are the one that will solve a particular problem in their life. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. In one of your previous episodes, you talked about content marketing, and you mentioned about how your content develops brand ambassadors. And
exactly.
And that was an important piece, Tulu, because what we need to understand is people are not going to become brand ambassadors because we are one of a million people. You know, if I say I'm a business coach, and that's not going to turn people into brand ambassadors. What's going to turn people into brand ambassadors is when my content helps them understand that I have something to offer that is different than everybody else. Even if it really isn't different, it just has to appear to be different. And that's how we turn people into brand ambassadors. And that's how we become the one, as you just mentioned, because what we've done is we have to make our audience do this. Our content, whether we present it online in a blog, in a podcast, or on a live stage, our content should do this. It should make our audience go like this. They should go, huh, I've never thought of it like that before. Just like this just happened to you a few moments ago. And your audience should go, oh, that gives me something new to think about. Exactly. And if your content isn't doing that, you're going to have a hard time developing legitimate brand ambassadors through your content.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Just recently, I switched from using the demographic style of understanding audience, which is a style that uses the age, the location and stuff of people, to using the lifestyle. I would call it just the lifestyle. It's called psychographic segmentation. It basically uses the lifestyle, uses what are the things they are interested in, what are the things they are likely to do with your product or your services, what are probably some things they are going through that will make your product or service a great fit for them. So based on that information, I can then draw a really deep customer profile, and then instead of trying to say my service is going to take care of this, I would then probably just talk about something that you'll be more interested in. Like, as a content marketer now, I know that a lot of people I work with are small business owners, and they are also trying to build and make sure that their brands are seen as authentic. So instead of just pushing that I'm a content marketer, I go like, well, what you can do is make sure that if you want to keep receiving leads naturally and not have to chase them, people coming to your store to come and understand how great you are, then here are some things you can do. And then I give them actionable tips about things they can do. And giving them that insight about things they can do, for example, like making sure that they can organize their Instagram profile in a certain way, that this is something I also picked from your profile, that leads with the value they can offer. Instead of just saying that I'm a licensed esthetician, for example, they can say, I'm that one person that can make your skin glow. Or I'm that one person that wants to make you look younger, then so that you can shine brighter and live a more confident life. That's an example. Then that way, they are also, I'm also helping them connect with people who also want to look brighter, younger, and feel more confident. Instead of trying to say that I can do this, 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 and this, whatever terms that I could use. So with this method of marketing, it makes it easier to convince, just like you are saying, people that yes, I'm the one for them. Now, let's also talk a bit, because as I said, we have a lot of things to talk about. Let's talk about the aspect of books. I've read on your profile about two different things, and I'm so interested in that. There is the part of selling your books, and there is the part where you let your books sell you. I know that for most authors, except they are lazy, they put so much value in the book, and they truly want to change people's lives with the content they've put in the book. So how can authors especially take that, whatever information they have, how can they make it so that this book that they've come to put up, not only can they sell it, but it is also going to elevate them and get more sales for them?
Absolutely. And you know, what you said is exactly right. And this was my experience when I wrote my first book in 2011. I was so excited when the book came out, and I put my heart and soul into that book. And I had these grand visions, you know, Tulu, that I'm going to put the book on Amazon and the whole world is going to run to buy my book. And, you know, I put it up there, and, you know, I wasn't far off. My mother bought one. That about wraps it up. And, no, I'm kidding, of course, you know. But, I mean, the world did not run to buy my book. And there was a lot of good stuff. I was very proud of that book, and I still am very proud of that book. But what I've learned over the years, and I learned this with my second book, is that the important thing isn't to sell books. And it's not a bad thing to sell books. I'm not saying don't try to sell your book. What I'm saying is don't go broke and don't drive yourself crazy and into insanity trying to sell your books. First of all, there's very little money in it. First of all, unless you get picked up by an international publisher and your book gets distributed, you know, and it becomes an international bestseller, then you're going to be okay. For most of us, that's not the case. So here's the thing. What we need to do is understand this. Our books are really, for most of us as entrepreneurs, our books are glorified business cards. And what they do is they add a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit of credibility to our stature of authority, which means when we hand somebody a book, it elevates us just a little bit. Chances are excellent that most people are never going to read the book, but that's not the point. The point is that there is a book. Now, here's what we need to do. We need to make sure that the message that we have either in the book or the messages that we use when we speak, when we present on podcasts, on stages, on virtual stages, in our content online, that content needs to be able to position us as being appearing to be different by changing the audience's belief systems, rattling their paradigms, you know, resetting their expectations, refocusing their objection on, or their objective on something. We need to change the way people think. We need to change the way people feel. We need to change the way people act. We need to change these things. Now, what our books do, our books inform people, but very rarely will our books change people. So in order for our books to sell us, What we need to do is use our book as a credibility builder to get on stages, to get on podcasts, to get on, you know, virtual platforms, on summits. We use the book as a leveraging tool to sell us so that we can then share our message, you know, properly in a transformational way, and then of course the books will sell. Now, that's the way I've done it. It's a way to do it. I'm not saying for people not to go and sell your book. One of the reasons why we don't sell books, Tulu, is because most of us, when we publish a book, we don't have a marketing plan for the book. So I encourage you, if you have a book or if you've written a book, yes, have a marketing plan. Go out and do what you can do to sell the book. And I think that's a good thing. But make sure your expectations are in line, because selling the book is not likely to get you the result that you're ultimately after. The book is a mechanism to put you in front of people so that they can experience you. They can experience your voice. They can experience your presence. They can experience your power. They can experience your passion. That's the transformational piece of you.
Wow, excellent. That is so beautiful. I mean, you've brought so much insight into this, especially with the fact that you said something. You said it's a glorified business card for most people. Yes, a lot of people are not going to be able to sell a lot of copies, except they are able to, you know, get international deals with big distribution houses that would, I mean, blast the message away. But as you rightly said, leveraging on the fact that you've authored a book will definitely, for sure, get you on stages, will definitely even improve your chances of landing bigger projects as an entrepreneur, even if you're not a public speaker. Because, I mean, a lot of times I see entrepreneurs on their website saying, I'm the author of this book, and then you tend to see them differently. You're like, okay, you're serious enough to write a book. I think I might want to work with you. That's a very great way to put things. And if you're out there and you're thinking, should I write a book? Should I not write a book? Will I be able to get it to sell? Look at Steve's perspective. It makes total sense. Don't bother about the selling or whatever. Look at how much you can do with the book. See how many opportunities it will open up for you because you have books. As you have said, I am in a spot where I know of two different great individuals that have written similar books. One person understands it so well, understands the history of it. The other person is kind really new, and she also understands her what. And then in the marketing of the other person, she says it's the first book that was written about this topic. But actually, it's not the first book. There was a book that came before us that is, from the little conversation I had with the person, feels more authentic, feels way better. But she does not have the marketing that this person has, and this person is able to sell more and even claim that it's the first book that addresses that topic. And that, like, gets me, sometimes when I think about it, it gets me disturbed. It even makes me want to see if there's something I can do from my little corner that would help amplify whatever message that you have given out. But, you know, I believe one of the best things I can do for that person is to send the person this particular episode even before it goes out. That's one thing I know I can do. I can give the person this episode before it goes out and say, you know, I want you to listen to this. I think it will make a lot of sense. So, I mean, thank you for coming up and adding that value. I know this is going to impact a lot of people out there and help some people who are deciding if they should or should not write a book, help them understand what are the things they need to do. I mean, with their book on the topic of, you know, writing or not writing one. So, generally speaking, is there any other thing you want to tell the listeners at home that they are going to find very valuable in the aspect of probably growing their business based off your experience of speaking, of coaching, that definitely they would find valuable?
You know, I think, well, I mean, yes, there are many. I could be here for 4 hours, but I think if I were to say one thing, and you know something, it's interesting because when I do a lot of podcast interviews and that question always comes up, and I always just sort of let whatever descends at the time happen. And right now what's descending on me is this, you know, don't give up. This is a difficult time for a lot of entrepreneurs. A lot of people in the virtual space now are still just finding their legs, still just figuring it out. And it's a challenging time in our world right now for an awful lot of people. So I guess the thing I'd like to say is, you know, don't give up. Stay the course. Do what must be done to make sure that you get through whatever difficult time you might be facing, because you have a message and the world needs you and the world needs your message. So don't give up.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Awesome talk there. If you're listening to this and you have connected so much with this, I want you to do me a favor. Go on to the show notes. Look for the links we have there, the social media links or the website link. Check out Steve's website. Go on his social media. Text him. Hi, Steve. I listened to this about on the podcast and I found what you said valuable. I just popped in to say thank you. It will mean a lot to him because he knows that he has been able to impact you with whatever has been of great value to you. That is what entrepreneurs like. That is what coaches like. That is what speakers like. They like to see that people acknowledge the fact that there is value in what I'm teaching, and don't feel like it's not necessary. It's absolutely it's necessary. It is a feedback that will help them to understand what people need more of. So don't be shy to do that at all. And check on his website, check out the services he's offering, and look for wherever is going to be a great fit for you. And as I said, don't forget that there will be another episode where we'll be talking about how to use public speaking optimally. Trust me, you don't want to miss that. You need to tell your friends in the public speaking space about that. You need to also listen to that if you have an urge to be in public speaking. And take it from me, at some point, everybody is a public speaker, even if it's from you as a manager trying to instill confidence in the people under you, or even as a parent trying to instill confidence in your kids. There is always a little bit of public speaking that you get to do, whether you acknowledge that fact or not. Thank you very much, guys, and we'll see you again next week with another exciting guest on the Work From Home podcast. Have a great week. Bye-bye.